Welcome to Era of Epitrail Talk number 28. I'm Jam.
I'm Jobes.
Welcome to the show.
Okay.
Woo! High energy. We're in the midst of crazy April, as we call it, Arevipa April. Isn't there another A word?
I don't know.
Absolutely. Are you surviving?
Cray-cray. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Okay. I'm kind of trying to.
Well, you're amazing, so we can do this.
We can do it.
Yeah, so crazy Arevipa April. What we got going on? We had Crown King last weekend. That was April 1st.
Yep.
April 8th, which is this Saturday, we have Whiskey Basin Trail Runs, which is up in Prescott. Then we're heading over to the Damn Good Run on the 23rd.
Yep.
It's on one of our only Sunday races.
Sunday race.
That's at Lake Pleasant. And then we're wrapping it up with the Sinister Night Runs.
Kicks off our Insomnia the 29th. Series. Yeah.
So four races in this month, four out of the 5 weekends, and it's going to be fun, guys. Are you guys coming to any of them?
Please. Really? Yes. Come to all of them.
You know we'll be there. For sure. So come say hi to us, if nothing else.
Yes, please.
Yeah. I'm excited. I obviously had to miss this last weekend because I was over in Tennessee doing a race of my own.
You were doing a little something special. What were you doing, Jobs?
How did Barkley.
Oh my.
But how was Crown King? I want to hear a bit about that first.
Crown King was amazing. We had, I think, 150 people start the race. We had over 90% finish the race. And if you guys don't know what Crown King is, it's this race that we've been doing for, I think, 26 years. This race has been run for 26 years. It starts at Lake Pleasant, and then it treks all the way up, like, up the mountains on this Jeep road in the Bradshaw Mountains, and it ends at the Crown King Saloon. And we have a party there. We had live band. I was on the mic. I lost my voice at some point.
still lost a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it's still lost a little bit. But, yeah, it was just an amazing turnout, and Crown King is really cool because a lot of people actually choose Crown King as their first attempt at ultra, as a 50K. So we had a lot of first timers out there who were able to finish the race as well. So it was, yeah, just an overall amazing event. Weather was great. And the party afterward was just, it was hilarious. It was
amazing. Point to point 50Ks are kind of rare, and especially one that starts in the desert with saguaros and then ends in the pine trees.
Yeah, spines to pines.
Really cool.
It was really cool.
And I heard that there was snow setting up for the race. Now, did that linger on the race day, or was...
I think a little bit. Christina, who's one of our crew members, she was out on course and reaching up at the top of the mountains. She said that, like, it started snowing and the snowflakes were just huge.
During the race?
During the race.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, you get a little... You start in the desert, you end up on snow-capped mountains, evidently.
Nice.
So, it was a good event.
That's awesome.
For sure.
Well, I think we want to touch a bit more on the Barkley... And I don't know, Whiskey Basin's this weekend. And I don't know if there's a lot to say about that one. It's going to kick off the Whiskey Man series, which is now in like its second year. It's still very unofficial underground. I don't even know who all is doing it yet. I think we'll kind of like see who survives the 88K and then who signed up for the bike ride and the marathon. So it's three endurance events within about a month span, all in Prescott, and should be a good time.
Yeah.
Should be awesome. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Did you want to ask me questions about Barkley? Or?
I do. Okay. I mean, I have never been so glued to Twitter in my entire life. So, like, even on like Saturday and then going into Sunday and then a little bit Monday morning as well, like, I was on my phone following Keith Dunn for the entire weekend. So, I mean, as a lot of you know, what happened at Barkley, but I want your perspective because the weather was crazy, but you guys had how many start out on the, was it the third loop? You had a good group of guys.
The weather actually was great. It wasn't crazy at all.
At the end.
Yeah, the end was. Like, it was raining for those guys for about, like, 5 or 6 hours, but for us, it was fine.
Awesome.
The thing that was kind of crazy was the early start. So they blew the conch shell at 12:40 or 12:42 in the morning, meaning we started at 1:40 in the morning.
Yeah.
None of us had really gotten much sleep at all. I got 3 hours. I think some guys got 1 hour.
Yeah.
And we're just off into the darkness. It was kind of raining a little bit. So kind of a real interesting way to start the experience.
How much time do you have to prepare to, like, kind of map everything out before trying to go and get some sleep? Like,
well, he started checking people in the afternoon. It might have been, like, 2 p.m. And I think he finally put the map out at, like, 5.
Okay.
So, I mean, by the time he puts the map out, then everyone's got to go over there and copy, and it takes, like, a while to get a spot next to the map as people are, like, studying it. And then I was, like, eating dinner and preparing my stuff and just talking to people, and, like, next thing you know, it's, like, 9 o'clock p.m., like, at night, and I'm like, crap, I gotta go to bed. And then I got up to, like, use the bathroom at midnight, and I was pretty close to the campsite where Laz and all the check-in, all the people are next to the gate. And there's still a lot of noise and commotion going on there at midnight. And I was thinking to myself, crap, like, that's not a good sign if they're still all up and they're not in bed.
Yeah.
Because it probably means an early start. Yeah. So, yeah, I woke up, like, I heard the shell or the whatever, the conch blow, and then it was like, I didn't want to believe it, that it was it. I was like, maybe I imagined it. And then I saw all these other lights turning on in camp, and I was like, shoot. So, yeah, it's just, you have to just turn your brain off and just be like, all right, I got to get my shoes on and get my pack on and make sure I have all my stuff. And because you just have that 1 hour.
Yeah.
So you line up at the gate, and next thing you know, you're off and running.
So you started in the dark to do your first loop. Were you in the dark for the majority of that first loop?
Oh, no. I mean, we made it to book 5, my group, and then it started getting light.
Okay.
But we lost so much time because we were just wandering around and getting lost. So, like, the first 4 books, we botched them, basically. And book 1 wasn't so bad because everyone was there searching for it. But book 2, we definitely were running around like chickens with our head cut off, like, trying to find this confluence of these streams, and then we totally missed book 3. You have to go off this trail to the top of a peak and then back down on the trail. Like, the trail goes around the peak.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go, like, up over. We just, in the dark, in the fog, we didn't know. You just have to go cut cross country up. And we went around, started going on these switchbacks, and then we came up to the next runner, and he's like, hey, where'd you guys come from? Like, I just came from the 3rd book. Did you guys get it? And we're like, no. So we turned around, went and got it, and then continued on our way. But then we got lost in the fog again, like, a couple more times. So, yeah, slow going.
How many books were out on the course this year?
13 books this year.
Okay. And how many, you said, like, the group of you on the first loop, how many was in your group?
It ended up being, like, 3 of us that stuck together. It was me, Michael Versteeg, and then Brandon Stepanowicz from Colorado. So that was kind of our little crew.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had forgotten quite a bit from 2 years ago. I thought I knew all these sections, but then I got out there and I was like, I think it's this way, but I'm not sure. And so we would stop and we would pull the maps out, we'd pull the description out, and just, like, waste more time. I mean, we had to do it because we wanted to make sure we were right, but it was sucking, you know, a little minute here, a couple minutes there. Next thing you know, it's a couple hours that we're behind everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing catch up.
Okay. Tell us about the second loop then. You're in the daylight.
Yeah, second loop, we finished, I don't even know what time we finished. It might have been like 11 hours for the first loop. So it was like, you know, afternoon that we got headed back out on course. Really quick turnaround. I was in and out in like 5 minutes probably.
Did you stay with the group in the second loop?
We all kind of like started out on our own, but then pretty soon we kind of came together. And then there was a couple other guys, so there was like 5 of us. We were descending from the first book on that second loop. And like Versteeg, like, I think he like ate a caffeine pill and he was like all amped up.
Okay.
And he's just like down way below us feeling good. And he like veered a little bit too far off the next book. And we were calling out to him. We went out and got our page, and then like we didn't know what to do. We're kind of like, well, we can't just sit here and wait for him forever.
Yeah.
So we left him basically, and he spent over an hour searching for that book, which kind of sucks, but like there's not much else we can do when he's going off like that. So, and then our group then there was like 4 of us that stuck together for a while to the top of Ratjaw, like the top of the lookout tower. And then I was feeling like a bit antsy. Like, I was feeling good, and I kind of wanted to just be on my own for a while. So I, like, ate a bunch of food at the top and drank a bunch of water, and I just took off and, like, ran as hard as I could. I wanted to get as far as I could before sunset, and I made, like, 7 more books right before sunset. I felt really good. I haven't felt that good in a race in a long time, so it was really fun. I nailed it perfectly, too. Like, all the navigation was perfect and spot on until it got dark again, and then I was, like, I couldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Kind of botched a bunch of the other books, and that was frustrating. So, came in on loop 2. I was feeling pretty tired and beat up, like, not super stoked to continue on, but came in. I didn't have a crew, so I just kind of got myself ready, ate some food, repacked everything, changed my clothes. And I was like, oh, I got a little tired. I'm like, oh, I'll lay down for a couple minutes. So I get in the van and, like, pull my sleeping bag over me. And then there's, like, a knock at the van. And they're like, are you done for the night? Or are you going back out? Like, you have 1 hour to leave before the cutoff for the fun run, like, to continue on loop 3. I was like, oh, crap. I had slept for 3 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, give me, like, 30. I said, like, give me 30 minutes. And, like, I got up, got all my stuff on, went back to the gate, and I left with 20 minutes to spare before I was, like, not allowed to. So, and then loop 3 was just kind of a total disaster. Again, I got even more lost in the dark on the 2 loops. It's just, like, not a good year for me navigating at night now that I'm, like, rehashing through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just got sick once the sun came up, like, really nauseous and, like, had this burning sensation in my throat. I'm thinking maybe I took in too much sodium and salt I was drinking a bunch of V8 and like, really salty soups. I probably should have backed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just couldn't make forward progress while I was sick. So I had stopped eating and drinking because every time I ate or drank, it made me more sick. So I kind of had to shut everything down. I would walk, but then I would get out of breath really quick and I'd have to sit down. Just kept doing that for hours and hours and hours. And as I, like, was watching my fun run chances slip away, so I kind of reassessed my goals, and I was like, well, if I can make it to the fire tower before the 40-hour cutoff, I'm going to have to walk it in because I can't make the whole rest of the loop. But at least if I can get to there, I can still be out the full 40 hours. I'm still doing it the best I can in the condition I was in. So that's what I did. I started feeling better after a while, but it was still kind of just a hike at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got to the fire tower, I saw the lead guys coming around on loop 4. They were coming down as I was going up. And then I took, like, Quitter's Road back into camp. And that was it. Got tapped out. That was the end of it. I was out there the full 40 hours of the fun run. So
40 hours completely for the fun run. And you had missed how many pages at that point?
I got 9 out of 13 books on loop 3. So.
Okay.
But I had about an hour and 40 minutes to do the last 4 books, and there's just no way. There's, like, 2 huge climbs, and I probably needed double that amount of time. So I probably could have got it done in 42 hours, but they made a new rule. You're not allowed to, like, keep going if you're going to be over the cutoff.
Yeah.
Because, like, a couple years ago I did that, and not so good.
Yeah. In those 3 loops, what was your biggest takeaway? What was your biggest lesson that you learned?
Just not taking my navigation for granted and, like, slowing down and not panicking doing things too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, sometimes teaming up with people is a good thing. There was 2 guys that were with me at book 1 on loop 3, and they went on to finish the fun run with an hour to spare. So, like, I was right around them, and, like, I could have hung with them, and I wouldn't have gotten as lost. I still might have gotten sick, but I, like, wanted to just do it myself, and that's not always the best choice. Those are my takeaways.
So, and then I think everybody also wants to know, how did your ankles hold up and your feet?
No issues.
No issues at all.
Mm-mm.
So you didn't feel any residual, like, pain or anything?
Not during the race.
Okay.
I mean, now, yes. Like, the blisters are still there, and they're looking pretty gross, actually. my legs are actually kind of itchy today. I think they're just really, really dried out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm hoping it doesn't re-break out, but I don't know what it was. Like, my body maybe just knew what it had to do, and it just shut all that off. I had socks on the whole race. I changed them after every loop. I didn't feel anything, though. I didn't feel any issues, itching, nothing. But I felt a lot of other pain, so
yeah.
I'm sure that was part of
the
problem.
So it was kind of distracting from possibly what you would have felt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Any briar issues or anything like that?
I'm scratched up a little bit. I mean, it's healing pretty quick, but it's already scabbing over. I had long socks and somewhat long board shorts, so my knees are pretty scratched up, but overall not too bad.
Going back to navigation a little bit, so I want to know, like, is it a majority of, like landmarks that you have to find? Or you said you would kind of stick to your compass this year. Did you, like, constantly, like, go back and check coordinates and your compass? Or did you kind of also rely on, like, landmarks that Laz describes and things like that?
Both, yeah. Sometimes you're following, like, just stay on the left side of a stream.
Yeah.
But then you need to take a coordinate off that. And then look for like a certain rock. So it was a mix, but I didn't nail my coordinates perfectly. Like I thought at night I was following them really well, and then I would end up completely not where I was supposed to be. So I don't know what it was. Maybe I wasn't watching it close enough. Just put my guard down, but that was a little bit of an issue.
Let's talk a little bit about Gary Robbins and John Kelly.
Yeah.
So the end of Barclay was extremely, like, it was just amazingly dramatic and, really something cool to follow if you guys followed along this year. But you were there at the finish line. Did you see them come in off their fourth loop starting the fifth loop?
I didn't. I was pretty wired after I finished my three, which was like in the afternoon. But I had stayed up all the way till like 11:30 p.m. Finally, I showered and I was hanging out with everyone. And then I was just like in the van and I was like literally about to go out and go see them. And I just laid down and I was out. I didn't wake up till 7 a.m. and it was just starting to rain. So I pulled in like all my gear I had dumped on the outside, passed out again till noon. So that was right before they were going to come in.
Okay.
So I got up and caught John's finish, and then I was going to go up the trail to see Gary from the opposite direction. So I was up there, but he ended up coming in from the same direction as John because he made that wrong turn. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty dramatic.
What was the, like, kind of, like, feeling of that, like, just by that gate? Like, what was kind of the emotion in the air or the atmosphere?
Well, it's definitely special and rare when you have a person finish the race.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's pretty awesome to see that. I saw Jared finish once before, so it's always really cool.
And this was John's third attempt?
Yeah, third attempt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you able to talk to him or anything, like, after the race?
Yeah. I hung out pretty much all day, so they were whisked off to bed for a while, but chit-chatted with him for a while.
What did he have to say about this year?
I don't know, not a lot.
No?
I mean, well, he had a lot to say. I don't remember, really.
Okay.
Like, specifically. Just definitely happy to get it done. And
yeah.
He got pretty cold on the last loop. He didn't carry a jacket, just a long sleeve through all that rain.
So and he then was, he like, found a trash bag.
He was picking up stuff on the course and like wearing it to try and warm up. So it was pretty cool.
And then tell me about Gary Robbins and what the atmosphere was after.
I mean, I didn't see him but just from everyone who was there, it was pretty emotional and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. I did get to chat with him later and he just like got lost up there in the fog and disoriented, and you know, he kind of had it in the bag and then just kind of, you know, made just a split second decision and was like focused on, he needed to get there. He was running as hard as he could, but he was running as hard as he could in the wrong way, and that ended up being a problem. So once he realized his mistake, he could have like turned around and gone back up, but he knew he wouldn't have made the 60-hour limit, so he made a decision to just bushwhack and cut straight down and try and, like, just get back to the gate as quick as he could. But that disqualified him anyway.
Yeah.
So, I hope he'll be back, but that's, like, a tough thing to swallow. And you basically did the Barclay, you did the full thing. He might even have done more miles than the wrong turn, but that's the spirit of the race.
Yeah.
Like, you got to complete the course.
And Laz is really hard on, like, all the cutoffs and like running the correct course, and
definitely
so regardless of a five loop finish.
Yep, he'll have to come back.
Do you think he'll come back?
I think so.
Yeah. And will you go back?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys have questions for Jamil, please type them in the comment section below, or if you're watching live, please send those questions over and we'll answer them at the end of the show.
Cool.
Is there anything else that you want to tell everybody about the Barclay?
Mm-mm.
I think I speak for everyone when I say it's kind of badass, dude.
Thanks.
You're a badass.
Thanks.
Okay. You guys ready? I don't know what Enzo has planned this week for JubeTube. And I'm increasingly getting more worried every time he's like, I'm going to just buy a bag of stuff and, like, we're going to try this out on you guys. So we became like lab rats, I guess, at this point. For all
lab
the
rat weird, away.
All the challenges. I'm up for it, though. Again, if you guys have suggestions or ideas for JupeTube, let me know. Type in the little comments below or just let me know. All right. Here we go. JupeTube. I see saltines. I don't know what's happening. World records that could be beaten. Okay, so we're going to try for some world records today. Sweet. Oranges. I see oranges. And lots of oranges. And more oranges. And orange juice. And water and orange juice.
Okay, so we're going after world records.
Yep.
And what is the first one?
Most saltine crackers eaten in 1 minute.
Let's go after it.
I need to go after it, but I also need to know how many I'm going after. 10 crackers in a minute?
This
with
is no
doable.
Water, right?
With no water?
No water. You can't put nothing
in. Gosh. Okay, wait. Hold on. I have to eat one at a time? Do I have to swallow it before I eat the next one? I'm very dry. Mm-hmm. This may not be them. It might be possible. Are you sure I can't just shove them in my mouth? Okay. Mm. It's really tough.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Mm-hmm. 30 seconds. I've only eaten 3 crackers. Mm. Very hard as well. I feel like the person who did this must have, like, just, like, over, like, salivated the whole time to be able to do this. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I did half.
I got 6.
Yeah.
How many did you get?
Yeah, like 4.5.
Cool. Well, we did not beat that.
That's
one.
Actually quite difficult. If you guys think you can do better, come on. Okay.
That's the first time I've done that challenge before.
20 seconds to gargle orange juice. Okay, if I get caught up and I choke, what am I spitting into?
The glass.
Oh, I'm just going to spit right back into the glass.
Sure.
Well, that's a waste of orange juice. All right. Oh, do I have to? Okay, hold on. I just need to, like, I need to put it on my palate. I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, did we win?
Around 23 seconds.
Okay.
Guinness!
Hurrah!
Contact me! We recorded this, right?
Actually, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
I was running out of breath at the end there.
Oh, I ran out of breath. I took a breath. Really?
How can you breathe? You have freaking orange juice in your mouth.
I know, like, what you didn't say, it was like, I have to, like, hold my breath.
I don't know,
and
I couldn't
gargle.
Figure it out.
Oh.
I was about to drown.
Okay, whatever. Let's do it.
Most sticky notes on face in 1 minute. Current record, 58.
58 stickies? Okay, we're going to do it. Okay.
Oh.
Oh, see?
I can't pull these fast enough.
Wait. Don't worry about it.
See, they won't even stick to my face.
Yeah, I feel like maybe it needed like a facial.
I needed
it. Wait. Yeah. Yeah.
It's getting close to my eyelid.
They're not that sticky. That's the thing. It's not really sticking.
Ah, I even got a paper cut on my lip. Ow.
The whole thing is just not. It's not.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Jumping.
And then,
they're
like,
jumping
if I take
off my face.
57. What the. I mean, here's the thing. You know, are these legit post-its? Are these Like Post-its?
They're sticky notes. They're not Post-it brand. Yeah. That's why. See, that's why. We got duped.
We got, yeah. No. Generic brand Posties.
Oh, it counts how many actually stay.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yay.
Generic brand. You will know better next time.
Only the best for us. Only the
yeah,
best.
Come on, man. There's no shortcutting when we're talking about world records. Okay, go on.
Fastest to drink 500 milliliters of water. So each water bottle.
Oh, heck yeah, dude.
The record is 2.35 seconds.
Okay. <that's
gonna> I'm sorry. Whew. Fastest to drink in 2 seconds? Come on, son. No.
I'm so hydrated.
Whole. Like, between the saltines and the water, we should go run 20 miles. Done. 6 seconds, though. That's not terrible.
You didn't finish it all.
Well, there's like a giant pool of water on the table.
It's not that big.
You have to juggle? Because I've never really done that.
Nope. Fastest time to peel and eat 3 oranges.
Fastest time to peel? I have to peel and consume all oranges?
1 minute, 9
seconds. Come on, man. Do I get like a peely thing?
Okay.
Go. Okay. Oh, well, this is just going to take way too long. I'm just.
Do.
This is just, this is embarrassing.
Right? Oh.
Yep.
I'm not even peeled yet.
Yep. Okay, come on. We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm a very messy orange peeler. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I'm doing it. Doing it. I'm like mangling all of the orange.
I'm way too in need of a peeler, I think. So I ate one and I peeled it 90% for the second.
I mean, like, I get like 1.5, kind of, maybe.
Fastest time to blow up a balloon until it pops.
Oh, cool.
I mean, wait till I'm out of breath. From eating
well,
all the oranges.
Stop eating the oranges.
Ooh.
Dude, this is going to hurt. All right.
13 seconds.
Get your lungs warmed up.
This is my question.
Ladies and gents.
Like, who are these people with, like...
Someone with, like, a VO2 max of... Giant... Actually, I don't know if that correlates to lung capacity, but, like, a 95 VO2 max would probably do it. Okay.
3, 2,
over here, he's like in the corner, like, ah. Oh, whew. My God.
You got some lung power there, Jams.
But I couldn't pop it, though.
All right. If you guys think you
That's
can
it, huh?
break any of these records, please send us a video, because I need to see
it. I knocked
it.
All the crackers off the table.
That's fine.
Should we get to some questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Pretzel Runner, you look Barkley fresh. Why, thank you. Roger, overall, how would you recover from Barkley? Any particular recovery tips? I've been doing a lot of these green blended drinks. I've been doing those before Barkley, and I went shopping last night already. I've already drank 3 of them, and I'm feeling pretty good. I love it.
I've seen
so
your green
good.
Blended
it's
drinks.
So
They're
good.
Super fancy.
Mr. Pretzel Runner, whatever happened with the apple cider, did it make you strong and peppy, super smart? I didn't personally find that to be of a lot of benefit myself. I've been liking this green blended drink a lot better. Like, I feel really good doing it. Yeah. You and Gary's year in 2018, that's from Step Rocket Endurance. Steep Rock Endurance. Thank you. I hope so. I'm going to put in a lot of work for next year. Stay tuned for more. Long Live Bella. I'm watching it work, but I can turn up the volume. It's like a boring mime act. I'll see Gary Robin. Yeah, well, it got more exciting, I think.
Right? Like, just a little bit. Come on. I mean,
I'll see Gary Robbins on Saturday. Got any secret messages or care packages you want me to take to him? Just give him a big hug. I think that'd be the best. And don't ask him too many questions because he doesn't want to rehash what happened. Just go read his blog. Long Live Bells. Can't turn up the volume. Okay. Is it true that you and Gary bought the Barkley, or was it an April Fool's joke? S. Daniels 15. That was pretty funny.
That was April Fool's. Yeah, that was
funny. I mean,
funny.
Why else did me and Gary go out there? I mean, of course, we're completing our transaction.
Cohorts all the way.
Trail Run Midwest. Would Frozen Ed consider adopting me? Maybe. You can. I know he's just moved to Arizona, which is pretty cool. So maybe you can go find him. Victor Lukashek. Grats from Barkley, Jamil, Brazil. Watch you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Spearkitter, how do you plan to recover? Any recovery tips? Again, I touched on this a little. I'd like to get sleep, but we have a race this weekend, so it's probably not going to happen. But I am going to be trying to eat as healthy as I can. That's really the big thing for me. I wore compression socks like on the plane flight home, which I think is always important. Mm-hmm. I did get a fair amount of sleep right after I finished as well. I think those are... I'm also going to try not to jump right back into running, although I do have to do quite a bit of course marking tomorrow. So I don't know how that's going to happen. Joe Galopi, on the first lap, can you leave cairns, crossed sticks as markers to help you on subsequent laps? Absolutely not. That is forbidden. Wow. You can't leave any sort of markings out on the trail of the course.
Can you mark your coordinates on the map when you're there, though?
Like the numbers?
Yeah, like remark and say, here's book one on your map.
Well, he posts the map. It shows where the book locations are. Okay. So you can draw that in. Yeah. Oh, okay. You can write whatever you want on your own map. But you can't physically put stuff out in the environment that would help you.
Got it.
Cam Taylor AZ, are you planning to do a Whiskey Basin pre-race video? No, we are not. So go ahead and check out the runner email. Did that go out or is it going out?
So it's going out tonight.
It's going out tonight. And also check the website and everything. It should all be on there.
Yep.
So look for the email tonight for Whiskey Basin. Mr. Pretzel Runner, don't choke jubes. Meg Runs Wild. When does registration for 2018 Crown King Scramble open? I'd imagine not right away, but within the next few months.
Yeah, within the next few
months. So keep an eye out for it. It's not one that sells out.
We're going to set the date and then, we'll update everything.
Spearcater, what will you do differently in training for your next Barkley? I am going to climb 1,000,000 feet between now and next year's Barkley. That's what I'm going to do differently. M. Don Lawn 56. I'm just answering these. Oh, wow. So much better via Instagram. All right, cool. How are your feet, Jamil?
They are looking pretty nasty. They are dried out. I've got some pussing blisters on my toes right now. Not good.
Brain Champ, any training tips for the Barkley Fall Classic? Barkley Fall Classic, for those of you that don't know, is kind of like a one-lap Barkley course, but it's on marked trail with aid stations, and it's not the exact same Barkley course. It sticks to real trails for the most part. I would recommend doing a lot of vertical. Like the race, I think it's a 50K with over 15,000 feet of climb, so
nice. Wow.
Definitely do a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah. You need astringent first. Someone says this.
Oh, for the face.
Oh, yeah, astringent. I need that.
Yeah, and also Post-it notes that stick.
Name brand Post-it notes. What are your next big races, both of you? For me, it's the Hard Rock 100, and that is middle of July.
Mine's possibly going to be next week. I haven't decided totally, but I may be flying into Kansas to run 50 miles at the in Manhattan, Kansas, for the Flint Hills 50. I haven't decided. We're going to see how this weekend goes, because this month is exhausting.
Marathon 07, what will it take for the first female Barkley finisher? I don't know. I mean, no one's really gotten that close. I think it's going to... I don't know. It's really a tough question because some really legit women have attempted it. So I guess it'll have to take some sort of anomaly. I don't know. What do you think? As a woman, what do you think it'll take?
What? Enzo, are you saying that I should do it?
Jubilee's going to be it? Is that what we're saying?
Well, I mean, I may. No, I don't know. Like, no. It's a lot. It's, yeah, I think a lot of legit women have tried to do that. And I think the last time, was it Bev that did the fun run? But that was maybe 4 years ago.
I forget, yeah. Like, within the time almost limit, it's been, like, 4 or 5 years since one's even finished the fun run under the cutoff, so.
And then the women this year made it through 2 loops.
Some made it two. I don't know that any of them, I don't know that any finished 2 under the cutoff.
Okay.
Actually, I don't think so. Like, technically, they get, like, 1 loop.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
There's someone out there that could do it. Girls, Shimon, step up. Show them what you got.
What do we got on Facebook over here?
Oh, I don't know. It's all these kinds of things. Great job, Jamil. You're amazing, brother. That's Paul. That was from Paul. And then...
Eric Schrantz, green screen, make a cool background. We will have a cool background if you watch the YouTube replay of this.
Yeah.
Is the audio cutting out for anyone? Possibly.
Probably.
We're having issues with our Facebook feed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Facebook feed hasn't been great. Yeah, fading out. Yes, check audio. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. let's see your Monica wants to say let's see your feet. I hope they are finally healing up. For
check the Steep Life episodes in a few days. There'll be more audio. How did Versteeg do? He made it to, we were talking a little bit about that, he made it to halfway through loop 2, and then he got so lost that he ended up hitchhiking out on the highway from some people in the middle of the night.
Oh wow.
Would you take some orienteering courses to help you with navigation? Chris Brown. So I grew up in Scouts and learned orienteering and navigation when I was younger. So if you have never had any of those skills or learned anything, I would definitely recommend taking those, taking some classes if you're interested in that.
Do you think you're pretty comfortable with your orienteering skills, or would you go back to class and kind of freshen up? Or
I haven't, but yeah. Maybe I'd need to now, since I feel like I didn't do very well in the dark. So I probably need to brush up on it a little bit more. I think I've taken it for granted.
Maybe there's like techniques or something they can teach you for navigating in the dark.
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, Jamil, how's your headspace? Hope you're feeling upbeat and positive.
Yeah, feeling really good.
And sorry about the lens too, guys. Seriously, like it just all of the.
Yeah. I mean, we can see jacked. It's blurry.
Yeah.
So.
I have to say this is kind of hilarious to watch. Hamster time. Yeah. Well. Right. Instagram.
How's the rash?
Nora Anderson wants to know.
I mean, I don't know right now. It seems like it didn't bother me during the race, but it's my legs have been a bit itchy today, so I'm kind of like trying to figure it out.
Joseph Farr says, are you willing to give up the smoothie recipe for your green juiceness?
Sure, and I did post that on some of the Steep Life episodes recently, but essentially I use some frozen fruit, so like pineapple, mango, strawberry, banana, a little bit of turmeric root, some black pepper, kale, chard, cilantro, parsley, watercress, some different greens, and coconut water.
Awesome.
That's it.
Right on.
It's so good.
Is the route marked on a map, or is it just book locations?
The route is also marked on the map, so you actually have to follow the route as marked on the maps.
Cool. And Chuck Hall says, congrats, Jamil. He said, what race are you running at UTMB?
I'm running TDS at the UTMB set of races.
Right on. And then John Lang wants to know, do you feel the Barclay is becoming overexposed due to the publicity?
Overexposed? I mean, it's definitely obviously very well known and popular. There's obviously more media out there. Does it affect me when I run the race that much? No. I mean, there's only a few spots where there's media on course. They've been a little bit more, there were people going places they shouldn't have this year, and that was like slightly annoying, but they don't go far like with you. So I don't know. I don't know that it's going to get that much worse, you know? We have a few more questions. Spearcater, are you guaranteed entry to the Barclay having done it before? No, absolutely not. There's over 200 people, or I don't even know the real numbers, but a couple few hundred people apply. They only have 40 starting slots, so there's no guaranteed entry. I have gotten in 4 years in a row, probably because I show potential for a five loop finish or getting farther since I've done a couple fun runs and I've gotten to loop four. And so, but I don't want to like assume I'm going to get in next year. Like, I can't say that. I can't take it for granted, especially after this year's performance. So I just have to, you know, apply and see what happens and train my butt off regardless. 614 Trail Runner, what was your favorite moment from this year's Barkley? Probably making it as far as I did on loop two before sunset. That was an unreal experience. Just everything felt so great, and I was running so fast, and I love when that happens. S. Daniels 15, how much did the fog affect your orienteering during the race? We definitely struggled the first four books, like I said, because of the fog, and mostly because I hadn't been to some of the new locations before. That was made it a little bit more challenging, definitely. Runner Travis, you guys going to be at Whiskey Basin? Absolutely. We're heading there tomorrow to mark the trail.
Yep.
So we'll be out there all weekend.
This is going to be Travis's first 50 mile, I believe. So good luck, man.
Original, your views on ultramarathon running if 18 years old, really bad or not? I'd say it's possible. It just depends, I think, on your running history and background and your reasons for doing it. If you have like a running background for a while, I'd say it's definitely possible to get out there. I started pretty young. I started when I was 20. Just be careful that you're doing it for the reasons that you want to, that no one's pressuring you to do it, and that you're not doing it because, I don't know, just do it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
Do it because you love it and train adequately for it, I would say. Runner Travis, a huge congrats on Barkley. I was following close. Thanks. And good luck to you, Travis, this weekend.
Yeah.
Mr. Pretzel Runner, random, what is harder, Hurt or Mogion? Ooh, that is a good question.
Different
definitely different. They're probably equally as difficult, I would say.
Yeah.
Just for different reasons. Mogion, because we shortened a little bit, might be slightly easier now. But Hurt is hard because of the loops. Like, you have to keep going back out of camp.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it is a, you know, like a Mogion, like a point-to-point style or looping around, it's... not the same loop over and over. I think it's easier to keep going because it's just there's like you keep moving along the course.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Davies says, of the high profile runners that hadn't done Barkley, who do you think has the best chance of completing it?
Oh man, I'm really not sure about that. I know there was some interesting comments made by like Zach Miller and by Jim Walmsley. I saw even they're like kind of like intrigued by the race after this year's seeing it through all the social channels. But I don't know what that means. I don't know if like they're actually considering it or how they would do.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different experience. So,
right on.
I mean, right now, currently, I mean, Gary Robbins has the best chance of becoming a finisher next year. I'd say as long as I train properly, I have a shot. You know, there's a few others like a Johan from Sweden. He did the fun run this year. He's got some potential. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's a lot of other fun run finishers that, have been under the 36-hour cutoff lately, other than like John Kelly and myself and Jared Campbell. So, kind of looking, there'd probably be some new faces, hopefully, that do well at Barkley in the future. There's always guys coming up. So,
awesome.
Sweet, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to shut this down because we're going to head off to Aravipa Group Run, which happens every week, every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., this week we're at Papago Park. We have a raffle going on, and we'll be at Two Brothers Brewery. So if you're ever in Phoenix, please be sure to check out Aravipa Group Trail Run. We're on Facebook. And that's all the shout-outs I got for today.
Yeah,
right on. We're going to clean up this mess.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
See you guys.
Bye.